Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Friday, April 5th, 2024. Let's talk about the auto industry, hurricanes, cicadas, and the legislative session. Also, AL.com's Ben Flanagan will join us to talk movies and even some sports. For podcast fans who are also Crimson Tide fans, we'll have a little tease for something that just might be in the works. Thank y'all for stopping by. I'm Mike Morgan, and we're down in Alabama. As this week wore on, the United Auto Workers Union and Alabama's Republican leaders continued their battle of words around possible looming union action by workers in the Mercedes-Benz plant in Vance and the UAW's filing of charges in Germany against the company, accusing it of engaging in anti-union activities at the plant here. Governor Kay Ivey earlier in the week claimed that the unionization of auto plants amounted to an attack on Alabama's economic model, to which UAW President Sean Fain responded that it definitely is under attack and that the union wants to change it in favor of workers at the plants. Ivey then referred to UAW as the threat from Detroit. Then on Thursday, AL.com's Shelby Harris reported on some new data that shows the rabbit everybody's chasing. According to World Institute of Strategic Economic Trade, Alabama has passed South Carolina and now leads the U.S. in passenger vehicle exports. Auto plants in the state shipped out more than $11 billion worth of vehicles in 2023. Now, that's more than a billion above South Carolina and nearly twice the value of exports coming out of Michigan. The hurricane experts from Colorado State University are predicting a hurricane season that's well above average activity, reports AL.com's Lee Morgan. The phrase they're using is extremely active. They're calling for 23 named storms, the average is 14, 11 hurricanes, the average is 7, and 5 major hurricanes, the average is 3. Note that this is the team's early prediction. They usually make an adjustment based on changes in the meteorological outlook. Now, the CSU researchers have a track record here, and they're not an organization that's out to scare people or get clicks. They've been doing this for decades, and although they obviously can't hit every number exactly, they help give us an idea of how busy the season might be. Longtime listeners have heard Lee come on the show and say, it takes only one hurricane to make it a busy season for you. Now's a great time to make sure your homeowner's insurance is up to date and that you have an evacuation plan. Hurricane season officially begins June 1st. Well, if you appreciate the southern sound of cicadas in the summertime, it's expected to be a good year for you, especially in central and northern Alabama. There are several species and broods of cicadas. Some broods emerge every 13 years, some broods emerge every 17 years, others emerge every year or two. Brood 19 is a major 13-year brood across the southeast, and that's what's going to bring millions more of the bugs into our woods and yards and trees this summer, reports AL.com's Dennis Billion. Meanwhile, across the Midwest, a major 17-year brood will be showing up. Small patches of that brood live in Alabama, but not so many that we expect a major crossover event here. Although, that'd be pretty incredible. But it's noteworthy anyway, because these two super broods haven't emerged together in a year since 1803, which predates the state of Alabama, baseball, and the birth of the two guys running for president. Let's do a quick legislative overview, just a lightning round in case y'all have missed any of these. First, lawmakers are finally back into lottery/gambling negotiations. The Senate and House passed very, very different bills, like over a month ago. And now a committee made up of members from both bodies will get together and try to hammer out a compromise. We'll see. Also, there's a bipartisan proposal that would offer a workforce pathways diploma to high school students who choose a non-college route. Now, it's part of the state's effort to raise the workforce participation rate and might require fewer math and science credits. Also, the State House of Representatives unanimously passed a bill that would require cell phones and tablets to come equipped with a filter to block pornography when a minor is using it. Less porn, more down in Alabama on phones, I say. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk to Ben Flanagan about Alabama's connection to the monster movie resurgence in Hollywood and reveal something that's in the works that University of Alabama fans might be interested in. Y'all stay with us if you can. Alabamians are not new to Hollywood movies and television. We've had recent Academy Award winners, director Daniel Scheinert and actress Octavia Spencer come to mind.
We can claim one of the Friends, Nurse Ratched, and both Gomer and Goober. The state that produced both Powell Cousins ought to be pretty much running the place by now. Well, now a big Alabama-connected influence has found its way into the monster movie genre, like the classic monster movies. AL.com's Ben Flanagan, who runs the Life and Culture team, has been following the directing career of Adam Wingard. Ben, I sure appreciate you taking the time.
Of course, Ike. Thanks for having me.
Now, I don't want folks to miss hearing about this picture and some of the stuff going on with Wingard, with the Alabama connection especially. Can you give us some background on Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire? And am I saying that right?
Yeah, you know, you don't know if it's Godzilla X Kong, Godzilla and Kong, or even still Godzilla versus Kong, but I think the difference between this and 2021's Godzilla versus Kong, which Adam Wingard also directed, is that Godzilla and Kong are teaming up this time. They're doing kind of like a Monsters Avengers team up kind of a thing, and they're taking on bigger, badder, meaner monsters who are a threat to mankind, and all we have to help us and save us in this time of need are, of course, Godzilla and Kong, these giant monsters. But yeah, Adam Wingard is one of the hottest young filmmakers in Hollywood right now. He is a name that we're probably going to see on big projects for the foreseeable future because, you know, you mentioned Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire, is playing in movie theaters everywhere. And the movie literally roared to the top of the box office, opening with a better than expected $80 million in North American theaters during its first weekend. And it's already surpassed $200 million worldwide. So it's a hit. And so for his second consecutive film as a director, Adam Wingard is responsible for delivering the biggest movie in the world. I mean, the first movie, Godzilla vs. Kong, gave Hollywood a much needed shot in the arm when the world's movie theater future really looked bleak after the COVID pandemic, and while it was really in the midst of it, when movie studios all but shut down theatrical distribution with some rare exceptions. But thanks to the rollout of the vaccine, Hollywood had a little bit more confidence in releasing a movie like Godzilla vs. Kong, which helped reignite interest in the theatrical experience. And it made about nearly $500 million worldwide, which was huge for the time. This is when movies were not making any money at all when they were releasing in theaters. They were putting them on streamers, releasing them what's called day and date, meaning sometimes they'd be in theaters, but at the same time, they would still premiere on Netflix and HBO Max and things like that. But Godzilla vs. Kong's success really opened up the door for big releases like James Bond's last movie, Spider-Man No Way Home, Top Gun Maverick. These movies to come back with a boom in the form of billion-dollar performances. And this was all thanks, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, to the success of Godzilla vs. Kong made by Adam Wingard.
Can you tell me a little bit about Wingard's background? Where's he from exactly?
Yeah, so Wingard was actually born in Tennessee, but he only lived there for about a year before he moved to Marion, Alabama, where he spent most of his life through high school before spending his 20s in Calera in Birmingham. And I interviewed Adam Wingard ahead of Godzilla vs. Kong in 2021, and when I spoke to him at the time, he cites Birmingham as his hometown. He said that once he moved to Calera, Birmingham is really where he spent almost all of his time. And really much like the director that you mentioned, the Oscar-winning director Daniel Scheiner, who made 2022's Everything Everywhere All at Once, Wingard really cut his teeth making short films at the Sidewalk Film Festival. He would compete in these things called scrambles, which were really like Sidewalk's version of 48-hour film festivals. And he really considered that like his initial filmmaking upbringing. And he made like a handful of shorts for those festivals. And he gained a lot of confidence as a storyteller when he really lacked a lot of confidence as an artist early on in his young career. And, you know, he's a guy who described himself as a bit of a ragtag dude. He would dress kind of slouchy. He was always unkempt. And he noticed other filmmakers who were kind of nicely dressed. They would look slick at these festivals. It made him feel out of place. But when the movies played, he won these contests. And he kind of started to realize that it's really more about the work and what you put on the screen. And he began to flourish as an artist. And it wasn't long before he became a rising star in the horror genre. He would make these independent movies like You're Next in 2011. He had a movie called The Guest in 2014 that became these sort of instant cult hits. And that garnered him these opportunities to take on bigger budgets like a Blair Witch reboot and the Netflix anime adaptation Death Note. And then after the success of those, he managed to work his way into studio filmmaking, and that gave him an opportunity to take over the MonsterVerse, which was just an amazing thing for somebody with his background who had been making movies for, you know, $10 million at the most. These were like real independent movies that really needed a lot of word of mouth among giant horror fans, and it would create viral success for him and really give him a reputation as somebody who could tell a story no matter what the budget is. And then all of a sudden, he's directing these movies between $100 and $200 million. And now he's proven himself to be a major force as a blockbuster filmmaker who can deliver on big box office promise.
What a great success story. You know, if we had someone making movies that had Godzilla in it and the director did not look like somebody who was skipping school, I would be so disappointed. I want the guy who is who's into monster movies, not just a great director who's trying to do that genre, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And the coolest thing to me about Wingard is that he has not lost his sense of home and really his sense of Alabama. He considers it home. He frequently comes back to Birmingham and in the Calera area to visit his family and his friends. In 2021, he held a hometown screening of Godzilla vs. Kong at the Amstar Theater in Alabaster the week the movie was released. It drew a huge crowd of fans and friends and family, people just eager, again, to get back into movie theaters. But Wingard really took his time to meet and greet people. He signed posters. He took selfies. He did these monster poses with fans who were just so excited, not only to see a movie again, but to see a Godzilla and Kong movie. And so it's just really kind of neat to see somebody who has achieved the level of success that he has. I mean, he is at the highest possible point where you can be in terms of making blockbuster films for big studios that make, you know, millions, hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars. And he remembers where he came from, and he likes talking about Alabama. He likes coming back for these hometown screenings. And it's just really cool to be a movie fan in Alabama to see somebody reach those heights.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Well, since I have you here, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and ask if you have any other summer movie picks coming up that you're looking forward to.
Oh, my gosh. I have to. you really are putting me on the spot at this point. I mean, look, some of the most anticipated movies like have to be the Joker sequel, Joker 2, as many will call it, but it'll be like a musical-style version of Joker, which was a billion-dollar success, won Oscars. Obviously, Joaquin Phoenix was a big reason for that. There's a new Deadpool movie. There's a new Gladiator sequel. There's a Lion King movie. There's a Twisters sequel. So I can't say that we're getting the most original fare during the summer. So, you know, listen, I like the popcorn stuff as much as anybody. I still need to go see the new Godzilla movie. I've still only seen Wingard's first Godzilla movie. But yeah, for me, I mean, out of all those big movies that I mentioned, I guess the one I'd be most excited to see is, I guess the Deadpool movie. Let's just go with that.
I don't want to get us too far ahead of ourselves, so whatever you feel comfortable sharing on this one, but I've heard a little scuttlebutt about a podcast in development. Would you have anything to share here with just me and you and nobody else?
All I'll say about that, Ike, is if you like sports and if you like football and if you want to get even a little more specific than that, if you pull for the Crimson Tide, then there could be something that might be worth listening to, might be worth subscribing to in the future. So Alabama football is right around the corner. We have ended the Nick Saban era. We are now in the Kalen DeBoer era, something that still feels so surreal. When you look around Tuscaloosa and you see no sign of Nick Saban and we're in the midst of a transition and nobody has any idea really what to expect, but that doesn't mean that people aren't excited. Everybody loves this sport and this team year round, and there's going to be interest forever, whether it's Bear Bryant and Nick Saban or whatever coach comes next, right? I mean, Alabama football is the thing that endures, and we want to tell that story, and we want to do it every day, every week, every month, year round, even when they're not even playing football, because it's all anybody really wants to talk about in Tuscaloosa and certainly in the state. And at this point, we know that Alabama football is a national and global brand, and we have a new chapter on the horizon, and we're ready to tell that story.
Okay. Don't worry. I'll keep it between us. But we certainly look forward to whatever comes about. Oh, and speaking of Alabama Crimson Tide, who you like this weekend?
Man, listen, we're all rooting for Alabama, but they're going up against people, listen, man, like Alabama is one of the biggest underdogs in Final Four history going up against UConn, and probably for good reason. UConn is the reigning champion. They appear to be on the verge of going back-to-back, which is incredibly hard to do, especially in this era of college basketball with one-and-done NIL, people transferring and everything. This is an amazing accomplishment that they're on the verge of doing right now. But Alabama wasn't supposed to win their first game. People picked against Alabama when they were playing Charleston, and then they weren't supposed to beat Grand Canyon. They certainly weren't supposed to beat North Carolina. So they've been proving doubters wrong each step of the way, every round of this tournament. And it's just been a magical run to see Alabama and a team that nobody expected to do anything in this tournament going all the way potentially. So if they can shock UConn, which I'm not saying they're going to, but if they can shock UConn, then I'm picking Alabama to win the national championship.
Hey, I'll hold you to that if they get that far. Ben Flanagan, I thank you so much for joining us. Folks, if you ever want to talk film/Tide sports and culture, Ben's the man. I hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back here bright and early Monday. Until then, just know we're open 24 hours a day and 7 days a week on the World Wide Web at al.com.